I think you can turn your Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, I had the young men before the service and some of the ushers pass out a handout prior to the service. Normally, when I give a handout like this, it is a cheat sheet so you can keep up with how fast I'm going to talk. That is not the case this evening. That, for you, is some homework. Homework from church. I was looking at this and studying it and knew there's no way I can convey in my message this evening. I'll do it better if I turn my microphone on. There's no way I can convey in my message this evening what the Lord spoke to my heart about through the scripture. And just seeing what God has written in his word about this idea was a huge blessing to me. And I thought about trying to share that with you. I'm going to do my best this evening during the message to share that. But I figured if I could give you some of the references that I read and some of the thoughts God gave me, kind of as a starting point, that you could go home and receive a blessing from that as well. I was reminded of Acts chapter 17 when it spoke of the Bereans saying, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." And that the passage there is not saying that they went home and looked through the Bible just to make sure the pastor was right. They went to the Bible to get a further insight on what the pastor had told them on Sunday, and they would do that every week, search the scriptures, looking at the things that they were told in church. And I've given you a head start. I've given you references that you can look at to further your understanding of this idea of a biblical perspective of hope. A biblical perspective of hope. You know, there's lots of ideas out there about hope and what hope is and what hope means. And I hope tonight we can leave with a understanding of what the Bible is talking about when it uses the word hope. The context of our passage this evening, Romans chapter 14, is dealing with the idea of judging someone regarding something that's not dealt with in Scripture, and it pulls into the beginning of chapter 15 with using Christ as an example. And when it brings up Christ as an example, it follows with our text verse for tonight, talking about the Scripture and saying how these things are written for us to learn from. And at the end of the verse, it brings in this idea of hope. So this idea of hope I'm taking out of this passage, it's not going to deal with the whole context of judging as in chapter 14 deals with and whatnot. But we're going to look at hope and how it comes from the scriptures and from the examples that we have before us as is dealt with in this verse. We're going to go ahead and stand and read our text verse together this evening. If you're able to, stand and join me. I'll read our text verse, then we'll get into our definition or explanation of what hope is. Romans 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Our Lord God, we love you this evening. We thank you for the time we have to be in your house, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, how you have stirred and spoken to my heart over the last week or so about this topic. I pray that just a little bit of the light you shined into my heart would go forth through this message and touch your people, that we would be changed, Lord, that we would have the hope that you say we can through the Scripture, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to these things that from your word this evening. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Hope is a word that we hear a lot around Christmas time, and it's a word that's thrown out a lot at other times as well with hope, and I hope this happens, or I hope this can take place. And I even said in my introduction where I said, I hope we can leave tonight with an understanding of what this means. We use this word hope, but the world doesn't know what hope means. I know because I looked it up to see what they thought it means, and they have a lot of different ideas for hope. Just in the dictionaries, the modern dictionaries, some definitions for hope. We're on our first point of hope explained this evening. Some of the modern dictionaries describe hope as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Another dictionary described hope as to want something to happen or to be true. Then I went and I looked at some more non-technical definitions, just how some people described or said what hope was. And here's the world's idea of hope. Hope is the wild ride between peace and fear. Hope is the bee that makes honey without flowers. Hope is a traveler. Hope is patience with the lamp lit. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings songs without words.
Hope is the little voice that whispers maybe when the world is shouting no. Hope is a key. Hope is an open heart. Hope is hearing the future's melody. And hope is a waking dream. I'm sure you all understand what hope is based on those things. I read those. I can't even tell you what those things mean that they wrote down. But they've got this idea of a hope is just this vague, this desire or this positive outlook on the future. Or it's just a really strong desire or a wish, a strong wish or something that I can just convince myself to be true is what the world describes hope as. We're going to look at how the Bible describes hope, or hope according to the Bible. In the Old Testament, as I was studying this, there are 15 Hebrew words that are translated hope. 15 different Hebrew words that are translated into our English word hope. Most of these deal with the idea of a refuge. The word hope is the word that they use. The Hebrew word is that of a picture of a refuge, or a place that you can run to for safety, a shelter, a stronghold. A refuge, one word for hope that was very interesting, carried the idea of a place where you can be careless. Some place where you know that you are so safe that you don't even have to be on guard. That's the strength of the Bible word hope. It's not a thing with feathers singing without words. No, it's a stronghold. It's a place where we can trust and we can rely in God. Something we can hold on to. One of the words for hope carries the idea of a lifeline, a rope that I can cling to. You don't want your lifeline or your rope to be made up of a wish, of a hope so, according to a biblical definition. Brother Bob Gamble's not here tonight, but he went bungee jumping. And I can imagine him having a conversation with the guy there as he's strapping him up. And Brother Bob asks him, is this rope short enough? And the guy says, well, I hope so. You think he'd have jumped off that pier if that would have been the case? I don't think so. Now, we want some security, we want some confidence in our stronghold, in our rope, in our lifeline that we are clinging to. We don't want it to be a vague idea. We don't want it to be a wish. We don't want it to be power of positive thinking when it's my life that's on the line and I'm holding on with everything I have. The Bible word for hope carries the idea of confidence. Confidence in God. This is not an Old Testament passage, but remember in 2 Thessalonians where the Bible says we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. The context there is of somebody who has passed and gone on, and when we are sorry at their funeral, we're sad that we have parted from them. If we know they're a Christian, we have hope that we'll see them again. And as a Bible believer, when I use that phrase and say, I have hope I'll see them again, there's confidence there. There's no question. It's not a wish, it'd be really nice, I really want it to happen. No, it's confidence that God said, if they're saved, I'm saved, we will be reunited. That's the word for hope, for confidence that we can have, a knowing for sure. Now, that's the Hebrew. The Old Testament uses those 15 different words to describe hope. The New Testament, there's only two words from the Greek that have been translated hope. These two words, one means confidence, and one means an expectation, or a confident expectation that we can have in God. That's the Bible definition for hope, a confident expectation. The word hope is used 130 times in the Bible. I made it easy for you. I narrowed it down to like 20 that you can look up on your own. I read and looked through and studied the passages all 130 times that the Bible mentions the word hope. And this is the picture that God gave to me that really sparked a light in my soul and really gave me an encouragement and a picture of what God wants us to understand about hope. Now, there's hope. There's a lot of different ways that we can have hope. As in, we already mentioned the hope we'll see a loved one again. The hope I'm dealing with this evening is the hope that we need when we're in trials. The hope that we need when we're having a hard time, because you need hope to carry you through. You need that confidence and that expectation that God is going to come through on your behalf when you're in trials. Sometimes, you might find this hard to believe, but my son does not always obey me. He disobeys sometimes. When he does, he has to be disciplined in order for him to learn what is right. You know, never one time after being disciplined has he come to me and said, Daddy, I know that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I know that you only correct me because you love me. And that you want the best for me. And I want to thank you for investing in my life this way. You know, never once has my son came and told me that. He's never shared that wisdom or that insight with me after being corrected. But what has happened is that every time he is corrected, he comes to me and he wraps his arms around my neck and he holds on as if for dear life. The more severe the correction, the more intense of a hug that I get from him. What that hug says, he doesn't have the words to put it there, but what that hug says is, Daddy, my hope is in you. See, he has confidence in me. Confidence in who he knows me to be. Confidence in the love that I have for him. Confidence knowing that his father, knowing that his father would do nothing to harm him. There's confidence there. There's an expectation of my love, an expectation of my forgiveness, an expectation of knowing that his father would not do anything bad for him. Let me summarize it this way. Biblical hope in the midst of trials is a hope that looks to heaven and says, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why this is happening, but I know who you are. That's hope. That's the Bible word for hope. God, this is happening. I don't know why. I don't understand, but I know you. I know you love me. I know you want the best for me. I know you care for me. I know you can make all things work together for good. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening, God, but I know you. That's hope. And that's what we can have as Christians. Confidence in our God. An expectation that he's going to come through on our behalf. That's the Bible word for hope. So hope explained. Number two, hope's existence. Where is it at? Where can we find this hope? Where does it reside? Well, the Bible gives us a couple passages to tell us where hope is not. In Job chapter 6, verse 11, we find that hope is not in ourself. Job says, what is my strength that I should hope? You know, we can do a lot of things through our own strength. We're in here, many of us are Americans. Most of us are Americans. American, the ideology is the self-made man, and we can do things ourselves, and Americans don't need anybody else, and we're just, you know, we can plow through, and we can get that mentality as Christians and try to live our lives without God. But we can't hope in ourselves, because ourselves are going to fail us at some point. I'm just getting to the point in my life where when I receive an injury, it doesn't just get better the next day. We were playing softball at the new property, I believe, on the 4th of July, and I twisted my ankle. Now, up until this point in my life, when I twist my ankle, I wrap it up, I take an ibuprofen, I go to bed. Next morning, I'm 100% okay. So I tried it. I wrapped it up, took an ibuprofen, I went up to bed. I got up in the morning, I stepped on the ankle, and it hurt. And the same thing happened every morning for the next 6 weeks. I didn't know what was going on. What's happening was, if I was going to try to hope in myself, I was coming up short. I couldn't meet all my own needs. I couldn't be there for every time that I needed a way out. I couldn't stand under the trials by myself. If you hope in yourself, yourself is going to fail you. Job also refers to having confidence or hope in his circumstances. And circumstances, they always change. Having a steady job, that can be gone just like that. You need a steady God, not a steady job. We can't have our hope in self or in circumstances. Job also says, I can't hope in my money. If I have made gold my hope, or said to fine gold, thou art my confidence. This is where many of us put our hope. Well, I don't need to rely on God. I've got a bank account. Give us this day our daily bread. I've never had to pray that because my cupboards are full. There's money in the bank. I can go to eat anywhere I want to. Why do I need to pray, give us this day our daily bread? I don't need to hope in God. I can hope in my money. But what happens when the money's not there? What happens when the medical bill comes in and it is double the savings account? What then? You need a God that you can put your hope into. Psalm 33 tells us we cannot put our hope in a king or in might. So many people have their hope in politics, in Congress, in the White House, in a certain party, saying, "This is where. If this doesn't happen, I don't know what we're going to do." I watched some young people who claimed to be Christians sold out for God, lose their testimony and quit on God based on the results of an election. Their hope was not in God. Our hope needs to be in God, because if our hope is in the King, that hope is going to be let down. That hope's not going to carry us through. I'm an American. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of our flag. I honor it. I honor the men and women who serve our country. And I love this country, but I'm a Christian before I'm an American. I'm a Christian first. And my hope's in God. My hope's not in America. My hope's not in our armies, as great as they are. My hope's not in the White House, not in the Congress. My hope is in God. That's where I find my confidence. We can extend this out to a person. We can put our confidence in a person. I don't want your hope to be in me. I don't want your hope to be in Pastor Caleb Bottrell. I want your hope to be in God, because there's going to come a time where I let you down. But God never does. That's where our hope can be. Our hope is not in the King or in might. Our hope is not in the things that we see. Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. The things that we see are not things that we can hope in. We can't have confidence in the thing that we see, because anything that we see with our eyes will one day be destroyed. This world will be burnt up by fire. I've had things that I've done, or maybe I've built, and I had confidence in it, and I shouldn't have. It fell apart on me, and that wasn't worthy of my confidence. But I'll tell you what, God is always worthy of your confidence. As we continue this idea of where hope is not, there's a verse where God warns us about misplaced hope. Misplaced hope will always lead to a heartache. Proverbs 13, verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When we have hope in something and that's taken away, your heart is broken. When your hope is in a man, when your hope is in a place, when your hope is in some money, and that lets you down, you turn on God. Wait a minute. God wasn't the one that let you down. The money was. The man was. Put your hope in God, you don't have to be let down. God won't defer your hope. Where is hope? Hope is in the Bible. We saw that in Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Through the comfort of the Scriptures, through the Word of God, that is where we are going to find our hope. So it is in the Bible. Secondly, it is in patience. We see there that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we learn to hope in God. We learn to say, I don't know what you're doing, but I know who you are, when we go through trials and we respond to them biblically. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 with me this evening. Romans chapter 5 gives us a description here of trials. Romans 5, we'll be reading verses 1 down through number 5. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. There's a biblical response to trials for you. We glory in tribulations also. Must not have been a Baptist wrote that. If a Baptist wrote that, they'd have said, we whine in tribulations also. We complain in tribulations also. No, the Bible says we glory. We glory in tribulations. Why can we rejoice through the hard times? Because tribulation gives us patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Hope. It's through trials that give us patience that we can have hope in God. You don't learn to hope in God when everything's going your way. You don't learn to hope in God when everything is sunshine and flowers. You learn to hope in God when there's a storm going on, when everybody else has failed you, when you're there on your own and you're clinging to that lifeline and saying, all I've got left is God. That's when you learn hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We don't get to learn that hope if we quit on God during the trials. Remember the ship that Paul was on in Acts 27? The ship that was going to go down, the storm was there, the sailors were going to leave, and Paul says, if you leave the ship, you cannot be saved. If you leave the trial, you'll never learn to trust God. God puts you into a tight spot, and you go to the bank to find a way out, you might have just missed what God wanted you to have. Hope is found where trials abound. Hope is found where trials abound. I watched a video recently on how cables are made, the type of cables that they use on cranes and things, and how these cables are made, and they have a rating. Any type of rope or cable has a rating. This cable is rated for 1,200 pounds. And the reason they put that rating on there, they don't do it but just off the cuff. You know, it's about this thick. I think it would hold, you know, I think it'd hold about that. 1,200 pounds, put that on there. Sounds good. No, they have a machine designed to break the cable. And they put the pressure on the cable because they know their customer wants to have confidence in that cable. So they put that cable to the test and they stretch it to the point where it breaks. And they took a cable this big, put it in a machine, and put like 3,000 tons of pressure on it and snapped it in half. And then they take that 3,000 tons and they say, this cable will hold 2,000 tons. Because we know it's going to hold up to this. And so because it went through the trial, they have confidence in their cable. When we go through a trial, we learn to have confidence in our God. What if that cable had been in there and said, oh, no, stop, it hurts too much. Are they going to know how far it can take them? We don't know how far God can take us when we jump ship in the midst of a trial. We learn to hope in God when we're in a trial. It's only in those times that we can learn to cry, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you. I know who you are. You know God, that'll take you through any trial. You have confidence in your God, it'll take you through any trial. Hope, hope's existence, where is it at? It's in trials. It's in God's word. Number three, hope extracted. How do we get it? How do we get hope? How do we receive hope? How can we have this for ourselves? We've seen that it's in the Bible. We've seen that it's in trials, but how can we draw it out? How can we grow to a place where hope is a part of our lives? Because you do need the hope when you're in the trial. But although we live without it in the good times, we need to have confidence in God even when things are going good. We need to know and have expectations and have confidence in our God all the time. We need to have that hope as a part of our everyday life. Couple things. Well, I'm going to go through these quickly and encourage you to study them on your own at home. Just go through and read these passages, maybe as a family, looking at this idea. But number one, how do we get hope? It comes from confession and correction of sin. We see this in Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. They confess their sin. They say they're going to correct it, deal with their sin, and they say, yet now there is hope. Is there something when there's something between you and your father, you don't have confidence there. My children aren't to this point yet, but as they get older, it will come. I remember this with my dad. There were times that I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've disobeyed. Maybe it was one of the instances where mom said, just wait until your father comes home. You know, I don't have confidence in my relationship with dad when I have to approach him and tell him what I did wrong. There's a hesitancy there. I don't have that confidence because something is between myself and my Father. I don't know where I stand. The Bible says that we as Christians are to come boldly before the throne of Christ. You know, when I was a young person and my dad got home from work, I didn't walk in as a 14-year-old and say, hey, Dad, welcome home. I backtalked to Mom today. That's not how it went about. That's not how it happened. There's no boldness when I brought that news to Dad. Because there was something between us. Something had to be confessed. Something had to be dealt with. Something had to be forsaken before that confidence could be restored. And we can't have hope if we have something between us and God. We can't say, God, I know where I stand with you when there's sin in my heart. That has to be dealt with. Get the sin cleared up, get the relationship restored, and then it's easy to have and to live in confidence with your Heavenly Father. So confession of sin and correction of sin. Secondly, waiting on God. We see this in Psalm 33. It says there, our soul waiteth for the Lord. We don't know how to wait for anything today. Everything we have in it is instant. I was just thinking about this last night. You know, I love Krispy Kreme donuts. I do. And what's Krispy Kreme donuts? Hot now. They're there. They're ready. You don't even have to wait. They're there ready to go. Always fresh, hot and ready. We leave the light on. Always open. 30 minutes or it's free. Free day, 2-day shipping. Everything's instant in our world today. We don't have to wait for anything. So we've forgotten how to wait on God. We also, in America, have so many things that we can turn to instead of God. The people in Zambia who are building their homes out of the termite mounds, they don't have the supermarket to go to when things get tight. They don't have the payday lenders to go to. They have to turn to God. They have to wait on God. We as Christians in America, we're missing the opportunities we have to wait on God. We need to learn to wait on Him. When you wait on God and you see God meet the need, when you see God supply, you have hope. You have that confident expectation that He can come through again. When I was in college, it was down to my senior year. So far, I had paid my school bill every semester starting off. I had the money to pay it off ahead of time. And I was going to go through college debt-free. That was my conviction about that. And I was going to do that. I come down to my senior year. My senior year, I finished all my undergraduate studies in the fall semester. I was going to start master's classes in the spring. I go register for my classes. You get your classes that you registered for. You bring them to the business office. They give you your bill, and I'd pay it. Well, something I didn't realize was that master's classes are almost double the cost of undergraduate classes. So when I brought that there, they gave me my bill and said, I'll be back later. I was not ready to pay that. And I remember just like it was yesterday, I went to the snack shop, I sat down, I put it on the table, I bowed my head, I said, God, I can't do this. I don't have it. I don't have the money to meet this bill. What am I going to do? I would have been fine not paying it, but God had given me a conviction that I was supposed to pay it ahead of time. And I didn't have the money. I said, God, I don't know. You told me this. You showed me this is your will. There are dozens of people I could have picked up and called on the phone. I'm $500 short of my bill. Can I borrow the money? I'll pay you back later. I could have called my parents. There were people in my home church that I could have called. There was lots of people that I could have called. God spoke to my heart about waiting on God. I said, okay, God, you got to do something. Classes start in 2 days, and this bill needs to be paid. 2 days later, the bill was paid. I had 50 cents to my name in the world. But God sent money through the mail from old jobs that I had forgotten about, that somebody was paying me for something the year before that they had forgotten to pay me. There was a run. I sold candy and snacks in the dorm. There was a run on my sodas in the dorm, and I got a whole bunch of money that day as people were coming into school and got really thirsty. God met the need because I learned to wait on God. There's so many other things I could have turned to, so many other answers I had. I could have put the extra $500 on my credit card. But I learned to wait on God. And that gave me hope. That gave me confidence in God that the next time I get to a situation where I can't do it, I can say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I know You. I know who You are, and I know what You can do. That's hope. This brings us to our next point, knowing God. Psalm 71, verse 5 says, For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. The psalmist there says, I've learned to trust You a long time ago, and I've known You this whole time. I know God. I know God, and I know I can be confident in Him. I know I can trust my God. The essence of hope, according to the Bible, is, God, I don't know what You're doing, but I know who You are. You can't say that until you know your God. This verse says, Thou art my trust from my youth. He knew God, therefore he could hope in God. As I go back to the illustration of correcting my son when he does wrong, the only reason I get the response I do is because he knows me. He has confidence in me. If one of you tried to correct him the same way I do, you wouldn't get the same response I do. Because that knowledge isn't there. That trust, that confidence isn't there. He would be terrified. He wouldn't know what's going on. But because he knows me, there's hope there. There's confidence. There's trust. When you don't know God, you get mad at him when the trials start. Because if you know God, you know that he only does things to help you. He only gives you things that are good gifts. Somebody that gets mad and quits on God didn't know the God that they quit on. Because that God never quits on you. knowing God. We have to know God. You need to know God personally. This is our problem. We rely on somebody else's knowledge of God. My dad's knowledge of God. My mom's knowledge of God. My husband, he's the spiritual one. My wife, she prays all the time. My pastor, he's the one who leads us. You need to know God. He needs to be your God. And you need to have knowledge of God that you can trust in. You can't rely on someone else's faith. You have to know God personally. Knowing God, that's another place where we get faith. The testimonies of Scripture. This is a longer passage, but I'm going to go through and read it here. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. I'm going to tell you some stuff, stuff that we know, stuff that our fathers told us, referring to the past stories and testimonies of Scripture. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of God. We need to pass those on. We need to pass those testimonies on to the next generation. The praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare it to their children, that they might set their hope and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Did you catch there in the passage, who is the one that's going to receive hope? He said there's going to be a generation, they haven't even been born yet, and their children need to have hope in God. And that hope doesn't come unless I share to this generation how good my God is. Until I have that testimony, or I can point to those testimonies in Scriptures and tell this generation, they're not going to be able to tell their young people, who are in turn going to tell their young people, and those children are going to need God. They're not going to have that hope in God if I don't. I need to have confidence in God, not just for me, but for them, and for their children, and for their children's children, because they're going to go through trials where they need to have hope, and they need to point back and say, there were some men of old who stood for God, who knew God, who had confidence in God, and God always came through. We have that we can look back to in Scripture, as well as in preachers of old, men and women and ladies of old, who we can read of their Christian biographies. There's a generation coming that needs that from us. There needs to be biographies written about the men and women who stood for God in 2016. That children can read in school 60 years from now and realize that there is a God we can trust in. There is a God that we can hope in. The testimonies of Scripture. Remembering God's promises can bring hope. Psalm 119:49, remember the word unto thy servant which thou hast upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Has God ever lied? Has God ever lied? If He has made a promise and He never lies, we can have confidence in our God in the midst of trials. Going through a hard time, remember promises. And remember that you serve a God that cannot and will not lie. Remembering God's mercy, Lamentations chapter 3. Remembering that it is by the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. What is mercy? If I could tell me what mercy is, some of you young people should know this. What's mercy? Some of the old people can tell me too. Not getting what I deserve. Not getting what I deserve. That's mercy. This is a promise that can inspire hope. There would be no room in my life for hope if God was going to treat me how I deserve. But I can remember God's promises. Remember that I serve a merciful God. That gives me confidence to serve my God. People in this world, they look at God and say, he's judgmental and He's angry. He's just looking for a chance to strike us down. And I can say, that's not true. Because I know my God. And He's a merciful God. And yes, I fall. And yes, I fail. And I sin against Him. But He loves me. He forgives me, even though I don't deserve it, and lets me go on and serve Him anyway. That's the God that we serve. He's a merciful God. His mercies are new every morning. Therefore, I have hope. We also gained hope through patience that we learn in trials. We already read the passage in Romans chapter 5. We won't read that again. But God uses trials in our lives to build us in our hope. We also get hope through the working of the Holy Spirit from Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. When we walk as we have been commanded in the Holy, in the Spirit, the Scripture says that we can abound in our hope. How much of your life does the Spirit control? If the Holy Spirit's in control of every area of life, we have confidence in God. But if there's things that we're keeping God out of, those are the areas where we don't have confidence. We said, God, you can't touch this area. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the pastor says. This is what I like to do. You just lock God out of that area of your life. And that's where you're going to falter in your confidence in God. Let the Holy Spirit have control of every area of your life by growing in faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith, our taking God at His word and being obedient to Him is the meat and the evidence. It's the tangible part of that confidence that we have in God. Lastly tonight, hope employed. Hope employed. What will hope do for you? You have this hope in God. You live with this hope in God. What's it going to do on your behalf? Number one, it will provide rest. Psalm 16 and verse number 9. Worry is a wearisome thing. Worry will cause a lot of issues, even in our, in your health. It's much easier to be confident in God than to worry. We just learned the verse last month, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. That's what I told our young people that verse means. Have confidence in God. Hope will provide rest. Hope will get you through dark times, Psalm 31, 22 through 24. Hope is a lifeline that ties you directly to the one who can do anything. Don't let it go. Hope will give you confidence in prayer. Psalm 38, verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope, thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Our prayer lives are definitely lacking in the area of confidence in God. We as Christians pray like it's something we have to do, or like it's something we're supposed to do. God wants us as Christians to pray like we think He can do something about what we're praying for. God, help the people in Africa. I prayed for the missionaries this week. Is there any confidence in God in that prayer? Confidence in God will directly affect your prayer life. Hope will carry you through discouragement. Psalm 42, 5, 11, and 43, verse 5. The same verse is repeated three times. The verse says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. We all go through discouraging times. But hope, confidence in God says, I'm not doing so good now, but I know my God, I know He can carry me through, and I'll sing praises later. We all get discouraged. Now, if you want to have a pity party, I would not recommend turning to the Psalm 40 area. I did this in college. I had something go not my way, and I was discouraged, and I come to the prayer closet in the dorm, and I get down there, and God, I just, all this is happening. I don't understand, and Lord, I just need some comfort. So where do you go for comfort? To the Psalms. So I open up to Psalms, just flip there, and I'm in the 40s, and I'm reading, and I come to this verse, like the second verse I read. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. God, that's not what I wanted. I needed you to encourage me. Don't tell me to suck it up. I know I need some encouragement right now. God says, no, hope in me. Put your confidence in me. What happened was my confidence had gotten shifted and was let down. And I was discouraged. And God says, your hope was in the wrong place. What's got you discouraged? We get discouraged when we stop hoping in God, start hoping in something that let us down. Remember our verse in Proverbs 13, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That's where I was at, because I had not put my hope in God. Hope also will make you obedient to God. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, this is the one we looked at with the testimonies to the children. The end says that they might hope in the God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Hope will also bring joy. Psalm 146, verse number 5. Hope will cause you to please God. If you have hope, you will please your Lord. Hope also will anchor us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. I'm going to read the words to a song tonight, one we're very familiar with. that kind of speaks to this idea of when we're in trials where we can say, I don't know what's going on. God, I don't know what you're doing, but God, I know you. And that hope, the Bible says, is our anchor. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I have an anchor safe and sure that can forevermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep. Angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast. And the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between. Through the storm I safely ride till the turning of the tide. Troubles almost whelm the soul. Griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray. Storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I have an anchor that shall hold. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale. On my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail. For my anchor holds, my anchor holds. That's hope. Hope is confident expectation in God that, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I'm going through this, but God, I know you. That's hope. Hope also will motivate purity, another verse that you can read. But we're going to close with that this evening. If you could stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. In a group this size, there's some of us that are in a situation where right now we need that steadfast confidence that we can hold on to. Preachers have often said that either you're in a trial, you're coming out of one, or you're one's on the horizon. We all go through hard times. We need a God we can be confident in. We need that hope, that confidence, and that expectation in God where when things are not going our way, we can say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but God, I know you. If you don't need it right now, you will need that hope and that confidence in God. Maybe there's some here this evening that your hope's been put somewhere else. My confidence hasn't been in God, it's been in my abilities, my talents, my strength, my job, my money, my family. Where's your hope tonight? Biblical hope, the only hope that will carry you through, is in God. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your word, what it teaches us. Lord, we thank you for this hope that you've promised to give us, this confidence that we can have, Lord. Lord, the world has no idea what it means to live confidently. And Lord, we are in situations that we go through where we have trials, we have difficulties, Lord, and we don't know where to turn. Lord, but we know through your word we can turn to you. We can hold on to that anchor, that hope, that confidence in you that even if we don't know, even if we don't understand, Lord, we know who you are. And regardless of our understanding, we know that you want what's best for us, Lord. I pray you would help us to grow in that confidence that we have in you. Help us to make changes, Lord, in our lives that we would live confidently as Christians in your word and in your promises, Lord. If there's any here tonight who, Lord, you may have revealed that their hope has been somewhere else, I ask God that you would help them to turn their heart to where their hope is in you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If